You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
Not a lot going on. Doing just fine. You know, I've watched Unrivaled 17 times now.
Wow, I thought you'd be at 20 by now.
I know, I'm slacking, but Caroline's making me watch this new Stranger Things season, and if anybody watches that show, it's too much for me now.
Yeah, I watched season one, and honestly, just never watched it again. It wasn't that I thought season one was bad; I just never got to season two, so I probably need to get there.
It's intense though, like the gore and everything. Like it's, I don't know, man.
Maybe I'm getting old. A little off the reservation, a little bit.
It's boy. I mean, I'm sure anybody out there who's watched the first part of season four, I mean, it's man, it's taken a turn to like stuff that's hard to watch at times. But
I don't remember. I don't remember season one quite being like that. Yeah.
No, it has changed. The violence has gone on a pretty significant uptick.
Michelle, how are you? What's going on?
Doing good this morning, guys. And yeah, I'm definitely not a Stranger Things fan. Like you said, Joe, very gory. Too gory for me.
Okay.
Did you like it before?
No, I watched, like, the first season, I didn't even like it. I only watched a couple episodes. Just not really
We've discovered that's a Michelle thing. She's going to watch for a very limited amount of time. And if you don't get her captivated immediately, she's not sticking with it.
Guys,
it's not going to happen.
Time is priceless. Time is priceless.
That's true.
And when Office Space is just cringe central, you just have to switch something.
So like Elijah came in the other day and was like, what are you talking about? It's incredible. Like, what? Like, dude. I don't know. Like the Office Space cringe and Robbie's Beatles, between the two of you, my goodness, just play some Creed for me.
Well, yeah.
Say less.
Who wouldn't want to do that?
I will.
I'm sure you will.
Oh boy. Big trade yesterday in the NHL. Kevin Fiala heading to the LA Kings from the Minnesota Wild. So look, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that Kevin Fiala was going to leave the Wild because they really didn't have the money to sign him for his next deal. And, you know, between the Ryan Suter and Zach Parise buyouts, the Wild kind of in a weird spot where their team was really good last year and they've got a lot of really good young pieces, but you're not going to be able to keep all of them just because of the salary cap. So Kevin Fiala, basically a cap casualty from the Minnesota Wild, and he is traded to LA, where he then signs a 7-year extension worth just about $8 million per year, a little bit less than $8 million per year. So Kevin Fiala on his way to the LA Kings to join Victor Arvidsson. So two former Preds, incidentally, two former Preds that at one time got in an altercation in practice. That was fun. But he is now there to LA, and it does leave me wondering. LA has just gotten Kevin Fiala. We've talked about LA in terms of could they be interested in Philip Forsberg, which apparently they still are. We'll get to that coming up here in just a minute. But I don't know. I wonder if this takes them out of the Philip Forsberg sweepstakes if it gets to that point. Air quotes for radio.
Well, that's the thing is there's a totally opposite reaction to this with some people. Is one is, okay, well, listening to Adam Vingan, I enjoyed Vingan and Caroline yesterday. Venton, Vingan and Fenton,
yes,
on the air. But you know, Vingan kind of went with the I would assume then they're good. They got their winger, and it's Fiala, and they're not going to be in there. But then you could make the case, hey, why not? I mean, if they can pull it off, and I think they can. By the rudimentary math, they could still potentially get in there for Forsberg. Another thing, I don't know if you heard this, but I was blown away by this from Vingan on Evolving Hockey. You know, they do the projected contracts, you know, value of deals.
Yeah.
I think they said, he said Fiala was like, he said he was like almost nine. I think they did.
Yeah, that's why I don't put a whole lot of stock into that kind of stuff.
Well, right. I mean, obviously, no one thought he was actually going to get that, but they do. Well, I mean, a lot of times they're real close on those things. I mean, even honestly, I mean, the deal that he signed, I'm a little bit like, wow. I mean, he had a great year, no doubt. He's still young.
Well, he's figured it out.
What do you think of that deal? Yeah.
I think it's going to be fine. He's really good. Like, he's figured it out. And I like a lot of the young pieces that LA has. So I think he's got a chance to be really productive there. Like, I don't think he's going to be some, you know, 100-point player or anything every year. But, you know, could he be an 80-point guy every year? I think he probably could. And if he's an 80-point guy every year for the next 4 or 5 years at his age, I think you'll take that if you're the Kings every day of the week. So, you know, it's different. He did take a big jump in terms of his production this past year. So is that an anomaly, or is that just a young player growing into what he actually is? Like, the last part of the season last year, and he showed it against the Predators a couple times too. Like, he's a dominant player, and he could skate really well. It's a skating league. And, you know, I know there are a lot of Predators fans that are going to be looking around and saying, man, Kevin Fiala sure turned out to be a really nice player. You know, we've talked about the Granlund-Fiala trade 100 times at this point, but I kind of like the deal for LA. I think he's going to be really good as they move forward.
So do you think it's less or likely that they go after Forsberg now? If Forsberg, I mean, you know, obviously he has to be out there for them to go after him.
Right. Well, I cap space wise, it's going to be tough to pull it off. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, they've got a lot of money tied up in Drew Doughty. They've got a lot of money tied up for a little bit in Kopitar, and now with Kevin Fiala as well. John Rosen, who has been around the Kings for a long time, put this out there yesterday on Twitter, and I'll just read it. Quote, for what it's worth, I don't think the Kings are done. I'm looking at Philip Forsberg, like Fiala and Arvidsson. He plays that fast, direct, hard game the Preds can play. Kings coaches and executives have acknowledged Nashville as an influence on what they want to do offensively. Now, a lot of people took that last part and ran with that yesterday on Preds Twitter of, really, Nashville is what you want to do offensively. But John Rosen, he's pretty good. Like, he's been around the Kings. Now, that's not him reporting anything. That's just kind of him speculating there. But, I mean, Philip Forsberg would make a lot of sense on LA.
Yeah, so if you're Forsberg, you know he's tight with Arvidsson. I think Fiala probably wasn't the most popular player.
I don't think so.
When he was around, but I don't know how specifically Forsberg felt about him. You know, if he liked him, that could be a little Preds West.
I think that also it gets overblown sometimes. That was also 4 years ago at this point. Like,
yes,
I would assume there's been some maturity that has taken place since then with Kevin Fiala,
or Fialander, as I like to call him.
Nor Fialander, yes. Hey, good for him, though. If you would have told me in 2018 that one day that Kevin Fiala was going to sign a 7-year deal with somebody worth almost $8 million per year, I'm not sure I would have believed you. Like, I always knew he had talent, but you got to really put it together to get a deal like that.
Yeah, no doubt. No, and that's – look, the day that trade was made, Poyle said, like, you know, someday this might not look great, you know, but – but look, he was having a tough year, and you know, at that time, the funny thing is that the narrative at that time was that, you know, Poyle had fleeced his former underling, right? I mean, that was, speaking of Venton, with Fenton.
That's right. You're really proud of that name you threw out there yesterday for Vingan and Caroline.
Well, but I have to give Michael Gallagher credit because I said Fenton with Caroline and Adam, but he's like, you could have gone Fenton with Vingan and Fenton. And it's like, duh.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, man. Like, that's a legit show name. I mean, like, they should, we should do some promos just for that because it's so good.
Michelle, yay or nay on Vinton with Vingan and Fenton?
Yes, I like that one better than yours, Joe.
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah, that sounded kind of harsh. You know what I meant.
That one way better. Any idea you come up with is trash.
No, yeah. That sounded kind of harsh, but you know what I meant.
No, it's fine. As I agree, because it just takes it another step further. Yeah. So I'm going to start telling you movies to not watch. Don't ever watch The Godfather. Terrible movie. Don't ever watch Goodfellas.
Listen, I'm going on vacation.
Don't look at them.
I'm going on vacation tomorrow, too, and I'm unplugging from social media. I'm taking a page out of Robbie's book, so maybe I will watch a movie or two.
You got some work to do, so please do.
Is the weekend long enough? We'll find out. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll continue the discussion on Fiala to LA and what this could mean for Philip Forsberg and the potential destinations coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing Philip Forsberg and his contract situation. Kevin Fiala, former Nashville Predator, traded from Minnesota to L.A. yesterday. By the way, Joe, they got a first-round pick and a prospect out of that when everybody knew that he wasn't going to resign there. So, I mean, it's pretty good stuff from Bill Guerin, general manager of the Minnesota Wild as well, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. No doubt. It's crazy. You look at the Wild, how the cap has just, you know, altered their course, you know? Yeah. Obviously last year, you got to move on from what Suter and Parise, and now you got this. You're just basically largely having to just go young again and kind of try to reboot.
Well, in Minnesota, after that move, they still only have a projected $6.5 million in cap space. So they still got some work to do on that front with other guys to try and sign and contracts like that. The Kings with $11 million in cap space, roughly 12, so almost $12 million in cap space. So technically, yes, they could go after Forsberg. Now they still have some of their own guys who are both restricted free agents and some unrestricteds that I assume they would want to go after. So you'd have to figure that part of it out. So I don't know. It's still going to be tight cap wise with Forsberg and the Kings. Like, I'm looking around the rest of the league right now, and some of the destinations, like let's say Philip Forsberg reaches free agency, who's going to be able to afford him on an $8, $9 million contract, keeping in mind that if somebody really wanted him, you could make some trades and clear some cap room. So that's always something that you got to keep in mind. But, I mean, right now the Flames have $26 million in space. They're trying to sign Gaudreau, and they got to leave room for Tkachuk next year as well when he's a free agent. So you got to get that part of it figured out. Buffalo's got $35 million in cap space. Arizona, $33 million. The Ducks at $39 million. The Red Wings at $35 million. Like, all these teams have one thing in common. It's they're not very good. So is Philip Forsberg going to end up in one of those spots? I will say Colorado's got a projected $25 million in cap space. They also have a ton of free agents. So we'll see what happens on that front, too. So you could see Forsberg on the Avalanche.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, if Steve Yzerman's team building history is any guide, you know, he could go to he could go to Detroit and kind of be, like an elevator there. How about that?
Yeah.
Would Trotz then reconsider coaching?
Maybe.
It's all coming together.
Like, you know what? Philip Forsberg, I'll be there. I'll be with the Red Wings. I mean, the old school Predator fan would be very hurt if Philip Forsberg ended up in Detroit. I don't think that's going to happen, though, on that front. I have heard the theory that, you know, Seattle, to try to make a big move and kind of get that franchise going, should make a big move in free agency and just throw a lot of money at somebody, which is always a great strategy. That typically works out well. But maybe you offer him $9.5 million to come play in Seattle. Maybe he'd do that.
Well, the Seattle thing, you know, it's interesting with Seattle because I think the way they have approached this is sensible, but also, like, after what happened with Vegas, you know, doesn't it feel like they can't have the same, you know, timeline as a typical expansion franchise?
You wouldn't think so.
You know, like you got to get moving. So, hey, maybe Forsberg with the Kraken. How about Forsberg with the Ducks? It's another California team, at least.
Can you imagine that? After all those playoff series, Forsberg joins the Ducks. It'd be interesting stuff. The Ducks are far off. Like, they got a ways to go. So, like, I still would imagine, like, yes, money's important to Forsberg. I think it's pretty clear that having a chance or feeling like you have a chance to win is also pretty important to him as well. So that's why, like, I can't see. I mean, we've talked about this the whole time. All it takes is one team to screw up the price of this. But, like, if Buffalo offers him $10 million a year, is he really going to sign up to go play for the Buffalo Sabres? Like, I have my doubts. Maybe it's purely about the money, but I have my doubts.
Well, right. And I still think probably it doesn't get to that anyway.
Right.
that's still my expectation, but
you're at 88%.
I think I went to 89, but I don't know. For some reason, I'm kind of drifting down to 84. So just put me at 84 today. Okay.
Okay.
But, interesting thing. I think Michelle sent it to us, right? Did Michelle send us that, or did Robbie, or did you send that to us, Robbie? It was another podcast discussing this situation. Now I can't find it. Maybe was it not in our text thread?
It was on Twitter.
Yeah. You know, the conversation. Oh yeah. Someone tagged us on Twitter. That's what it was. And someone else asked too. George Scoville asked on Twitter about, you know, hearing that, like, the structuring of the deal is more the issue, than just, like, straight up, here's this much money or that much money, which,
right.
I'm a little confused by that.
Well, there's in terms of just what it purely means in terms of the cap hit and all that stuff, there's really not a whole lot you can do in terms of the structure of it. Like, it just kind of is what it is. But, right. Like, for instance, and I thought Vingan did a good job of explaining this yesterday, like, Ryan Johansson, his contract, he gets paid $8 million a year every single year throughout the year. Like, it is what it is. It's pretty simple. Like, I'm pretty sure Roman Josi, when the next league year starts, he gets $9 million right on the spot that day. And, like, throughout the season, he gets paid, like, $750,000. Like, there are different ways to structure the money. Back in the old days, when Shea Weber signed that big offer sheet from Philadelphia, he got, like, I think, like, every July 1st, $7 million was just, like, immediately going into his bank account. Like, there are different ways to structure it that way. Like, it doesn't mean a ton in terms of, like, the media, fan, cap hit. What does it mean for the team side of it? It's just when you get your money.
Right. But so that's my confusion is, Why would that aspect of a contract be any sort of issue right now?
Well, I can see it being a talking point. Like, I don't think something like that is enough to keep it where you're far apart. Like, that would really surprise me. Like, to me, if you've gotten down to that part of it, you're pretty close.
Right. I mean, it, you know, so, like, this week has just been, it's just, you know, it's like you've got low eights, you got contract structure, you got now the no movement clause, you know, different people, you know, throwing out information. And man, it's been quite a saga, really, you know?
Well, it has been, but I expected stuff like this to pick up as the calendar got closer to July. And by the way, tomorrow's July, so we're pretty close at this point. So, like, until the deal gets done, like, we've officially, I think it's fair to say this is now crunch time with this deal on both sides. I think at the end of the day, there is a desire on both sides to get it done. So both sides are feeling some pressure at this point with the calendar about to flip to July. But I think, to me, if you're a Predators fan, like, this is a good thing, all this noise around this. If there was nothing and you just kept hearing nothing about all this, like, that would make me worried about intentions at that point. Like, do you really intend to sign here? So, like, the big picture wise, if I'm a Predators fan and all this stuff's floating around this week and you're hearing things left and right, I think that's a good thing, because ultimately that means that I think there's progress, or at least attempts to be progress.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, clearly they're circling, you know, they're circling the table right now. You know, Poyle, you know, it's like, you know, Poyle, like, his black belt and his dojo, you know, like ready to do battle on the contract. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure, like, in other situations that where you're not somewhat close, it's like the writing's on the wall. I feel like some people are looking at this from that perspective, you know, but for the most part, like, there's just, I think the prevailing thought is, and it's mine too, is like, I mean, this can't not get done, right? Like, what could possibly be, unless one side is really uncertain about, like, this being the right move, you know, like, yeah. Like, we've never talked about, does Poyle have hesitation? You know, I mean, like, does Poyle have hesitation about Forsberg? Not the money or whatever, but just like, man, in 3 years, I think he might be hurt all the time. And, you know, we could really be regretting this deal. You know, I don't know.
I mean, there could be some hesitation there. But to me, though, like, if you're offering an 8-year deal, which it's clear now that he is, he said as much. And JP Barry yesterday on that podcast, you mentioned, basically said that 8 years is on the table. They've got other stuff they're figuring out. Like, if you've made the decision to offer an 8-year deal, then you've moved past that stuff to me.
Right. Yeah. Right. So then on the other side, of course, that's really, again, most of my hesitation is just, if there's just beyond, give me the deal I want, is there still like what's this going to be? What's this going to be the next few years? Yes, he's liked it here and all that stuff. Nashville, the Preds, all these things. But you still, I reject the idea that he's not also just thinking about hockey future, team future. You have to.
Yeah. No, it's got to be a part of the conversation. Now, the thing in the NHL is, you know, let's move this conversation back to 2018. And let's say, all right, Philip Forsberg in this hypothetical world is a free agent in 2018, and you're just coming off a Stanley Cup final run and a President's Trophy run. Like, there's probably not much hesitation at that point about the direction of the team. And then it was basically a year later where it started to go the other way. Like, things can change in the NHL pretty quickly. So, and I think players know that for the most part too. So I do think it's important, like, trying to look right now where you are and envision 5 years down the road. It's not quite as difficult as it is in the NFL, because things could totally change in the NFL in 5 years. But I do think players recognize that in the NHL, things can change on you pretty quickly, one way or the other.
Yeah, but that also, I mean, there are some organizations that have managed to, you know, have a certain level of and really, Nashville is one of those. I mean, at least getting into the dance is a big deal, and they've been able to do that.
But think about Tampa Bay. Like, Tampa Bay has been to 6 conference finals in the past 8 years. It's ridiculous. Like, that's just right. And you know, that's an extreme example. But to your point,
yeah,
there are a few organizations like Pittsburgh. I mean, they've just been consistently there year after year. Now they've got Crosby and Malkin. Well, for the moment, they've got Malkin. That's starting to get pretty interesting, but it's, to your point, like, there are some outlier organizations where you just feel pretty good about you're always going to have a chance.
Yeah, see, but with both of those examples, I do think that's somewhat tied to, you know, just like great players who give you like a baseline. I mean, if you know, take this to the Preds have had a certain level of consistency, but like, does a Forsberg, does a Forsberg have less confidence in Poile just because of like how things have gone in the last few years? There's that too.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, if Forsberg walks, will we ever find out what the sticking point of this contract was? I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Like, I think it's going to be natural if he doesn't sign here and he goes off and he signs a 7-year deal somewhere worth $8.5 million per year. I mean, the reaction here is going to be like, really? You couldn't get to 8.5 if you're the Predators? Like,
because that'll tell you the story.
Right. You would think. I mean, I guess it could be as simple as I just wanted to go somewhere else because I feel like I have a better chance to win. But if it's $8.5 million per year, like that's going to be a pretty tough pill to swallow.
Like if he goes and signs a huge deal, you know, someone gives him 10, then it'll be harder to find out. Right.
And it'll be
easier to like understand Poile's side a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's sub-9 on the free agent market, oh man. Mm.
That will be an interesting day here on this program, Joe Rexroad, if that happens.
Yes, it will be.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back to Forsberg a little bit later in the show. Coming up next, we'll get into a very interesting situation developing between Freddie Freeman and his agency after his weekend in Atlanta. This is one of the weirder things I think I've ever seen in the history of sports. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I don't know all the emotions. It's hard to put into words. I'm just happy to be back. This organization, the people, the media people who have covered my family with grace and love over the last 12 years, hard.
That was Freddie Freeman over the weekend in his return to Atlanta with the LA Dodgers. A very emotional weekend for Freddie Freeman, clearly going back to LA with the Dodgers. So Joe, we talked about this a couple of days ago with like the crying left and right and just the over the top emotion. And basically my message to Freddie Freeman was, hey man, you're on the Dodgers. Like it's time to move on from all this. It's been an interesting development since then. And since this weekend in Atlanta, Buster Olney putting it out there a couple of days ago that Freddie Freeman was moving on from his agency at Excel Sports. So he goes and signs this big new deal with LA. And now after his weekend in Atlanta is moving on from his agency, which I mean, nobody thought was a coincidence at that time. And then all of a sudden, Doug Gottlieb puts this out there yesterday on Twitter, says, quote, Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer. That is why Freeman fired him. He found out in Atlanta this weekend. It isn't that rare to have happen in Major League Baseball, but it happened. Close knew Freddie would have taken the Atlanta deal, which obviously that generated a ton of reaction. And then Excel Sports put out their own statement as well, basically saying that that wasn't true. And the statement that they put out was, quote, Doug Gottlieb tweeted a wholly inaccurate characterization of our negotiations with the Atlanta Braves on behalf of Freddie Freeman. We are immediately evaluating all legal options to address the reckless publication of inaccurate information, was the statement put out by Excel Sports last night. So this has been quite the saga in the Freddie Freeman world the last couple of days. What do you make of all of this, Joe Rexroad?
Yeah, that was a good Rob rant. And then I, you know, it's like, okay, well, you move on, Freddie, and everyone moves on. And first of all, explain to me, Doug Gottlieb, what?
I couldn't tell.
Doug Gottlieb is the most random tweeter about stuff that he probably doesn't know anything about. So I don't know how much to put in that. There's been, you know, there's like the question of what, so it was like what, 5 years, 135, and then someone thought maybe they offered 140. Yeah. How would that possibly happen?
An agent not telling a player about an offer, like it's what everybody was talking about yesterday. Like, how could that happen? And if it did happen, like you should absolutely fire that agent on the spot. I will say, like, the timing is interesting. Like, you've already signed your new deal with LA, so you can be upset about the way things went. But if you're that upset about the way things went between the Braves and LA, you would think the information hasn't changed since then. So why did you not fire your agent like after the negotiations? So it is interesting to me that this is all of a sudden taking place after he was in Atlanta this weekend. It's like, okay, well, what happened to Freddie Freeman this weekend where he's like, you know what? I got to go fire my agent right now.
No, it's true. I mean, it's weird. I mean, other than like he just went back and the emotion was so powerful, which clearly it was.
Yes, it was.
That he was just like, okay. And he looked at the whole thing because you look at the whole thing. First of all, I think the number one the number one party to blame is him because, you know, everybody has an agent and you have powerful agencies and agents all want to go out there and set the market and all that stuff. I mean, we've seen like Scott Boras lead his clients astray, right? But like they work for you.
Yeah.
And so if you clearly wanted to stay in Atlanta, then you had to communicate that. I mean, the thing that, you know, Jared texted, I think you and me, or maybe just texted me the little piece about what Chipper Jones told him, which is like, don't do it. Like, don't try to play this game. They're going to move on from you. I mean, the bottom line is that they offered 5 years, 135. You took 6, 162. You compare the living expenses and everything in Southern California and Atlanta. And, you know, you five for 135.
You may have lost some money.
Yeah. So, like, I just, again, if you really wanted to be there, if it's that big of a deal, to the point where you can't get through a press conference, then that's what you do. I mean, so I the blaming the Braves for this, for being cheap or whatever. I don't know. To me, they offered him I think that's a fair deal. And you know, at his age, I mean, look what they ended up doing here. They've got a younger player in his place who's really good. And I think they're fine. But the thing is, so is he. You know, he's on a great team, in a place where he already lived half the year anyway. So, but to me, it's just like he's who I look at and say, look, man, if this is what you really, really wanted, then you tell your agency that. Say, okay, I'm just going to take that. Like,
well, I agree. I agree 100%. Now, it is weird in terms of, like, did his agent tell him? Like, you know, Doug Gottlieb, there's a lot of things that happen with Doug Gottlieb where you're just like, I don't know about that. But, I mean, it goes back to the timing of it, right? Like, the reported offer for Atlanta has been out there for a while. Like, as soon as he signed with the Dodgers and Atlanta made the trade for Max Olson, the reported five-year offer from the Braves was out there. So it's not like this is new information that's all of a sudden come up. Now, there are rumors that happen all the time, and maybe Freddie Freeman wanted confirmation, and maybe he got that confirmation this weekend. I don't know what happened, but it's just the timing of all this is pretty interesting in terms of the agency. Now, if his agent did withhold offers from him, that's pretty messed up.
I mean, if that's the case, whoever made that decision should never, like, who would want that person to ever represent them?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
No, I mean, I don't even know that I've ever heard of that.
I've never heard of that. Like, what are you talking about? I mean, and you know, think again, like, so you get whatever they get. I think they get close to 5% or whatever. Okay, so you know, you end up getting 165. So if their offer was 140, okay. So I mean, you made yourself some money, but that, I mean, are you kidding me? If you actually did that, talk about a costly decision. I think it will be a very costly decision if it's true.
Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah, no question about it. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in the world of sports. We'll take your thoughts, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 102.5. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, would you like to kick us off this week with your best and worst things in the world of sports?
They go hand in hand again.
I bet they do.
Oh, they do. So the best thing in sports, let's see. Darren McCarty. Steve Yzerman, Brendan Shanahan, Chris Osgood. Hold on. I'm not at my worst yet. Mike Vernon throwing hands. Some heroes of a much younger Joe Rexrode. Reliving that was awfully fun. The worst thing in sports, Claude Lemieux and Patty Roy still totally suck.
This documentary has left a huge impact on you this week.
Well, I mean, first of all, Patrick Roy, I mean, I guess he's just a jerk. Come on. Like, I mean, this is like the people, like old Quebec Nordiques fans can speak to this, you know, going back to like the, I mean, yeah, but
he's a little abrasive.
Yeah. And it's just, it absolutely warmed my heart. Like to see him, you know, first of all, Vernon kicked his butt, but then also like to see him like call Osgood out into the octagon. And then, you know, actually you watch that fight again. I mean, he did get some shots in on Osgood. It's pretty amazing that Osgood like actually just stayed upright, way smaller guy than Patty Roy. And then in the end, like it, you know, it looked like he kind of won. He didn't really win the fight, but still way to hang in there, kid. And Claude Lemieux is kind of he's kind of a sympathetic character in Unrivaled. And I'm totally here for like the whole like human being off the ice and all that stuff. And he sat there with McCarty and talked to the fans. But when it comes down to it, they show him that little handshake line before he shakes, you know, Dino Cicerelli's hand. And it's just like, he never apologized. He never showed remorse. Dude, you could have killed that guy with that play. Finishing that play. I don't care how bang bang it was. You finished it. And his head, that's an absolute neck breaker. I mean, it's lucky that you just destroyed a guy's face. Yep. And still you're a smug jerk about it. He's my worst thing in sports.
Chris Draper, not very happy. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, and you know, you watch that interview. I mean, if you carefully watch the interview, you can see the big difference in one side of his face to the other side of his face.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Michelle Knezvik, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, so coming to a surprise, Joe and I have the same best. As I said before, I was very unfamiliar, you know, with this rivalry. I'm like watching it. Obviously, because we had Darren McCarty on the show, and I watched it after we did the Darren McCarty interview, and it's just incredible. Like, Joe, you always talk about it, and I couldn't like relate until like I saw it, you know, and like seeing all the footage and all the interviews. And I mean, obviously you guys notice this, but every guy in the interview, if you notice, like all of their noses are sideways.
Oh yeah.
Like every single one of them. And then
Keith may be missing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then to have Darren McCarty on, and he's just, I like love him. He's like such a cool dude. So fun. Great interview, great storyteller. And then I still need to finish Unrivaled, but just an incredible E60. And then I'll add another little best, cause that was Joe's, but I saw this from Damical Cole. He's the Grizzlies beat reporter. He tweeted out something the other day. Basically, Ja Morant saw these kids in a park and went and played pickup with them. you know, you think of if you're just like a young kid, you know, playing basketball, all of a sudden Ja's going to come play with you. I just thought that was pretty awesome. Love that he's, you know, immersed in the city and everything like that. And then my worst in sports, really quick, Sue Bird retiring. She just became the winningest player in the WNBA, 324 games. She's done so much for the game, like on a social aspect, just bringing awareness to the WNBA, and has been such a staple in our society. So yeah, gonna miss her playing, but that's my worst. So yeah.
Yep. Great player, no question about it. All right, my best thing in sports, NBA free agency. Technically, I guess it started today, even though you can't really officially sign a deal until July 6th. But NBA free agency, you can think what you want to about the NBA. I know some people love the NBA now. Others are living in the 80s and 90s and no longer care about the NBA. One thing you cannot deny, Joe Rexrode, is the NBA offseason pretty much every year is awesome. Whether it's free agency or trades or player options getting turned down, like James Harden turned his down yesterday. Russell Westbrook opted into a $47 million player option LA Lakers. I mean, it's number one, the money in that league, given the fact that there's only 12 roster spots, is pretty amazing. So you can have like your average NBA player, like a guy that puts up 12 points a night, can be making as much money as Connor McDavid, which is pretty unbelievable in the NBA, but that's just how it goes. But NBA free agency, I think I may enjoy NBA free agency more than I enjoy watching the actual NBA. And I enjoy watching the actual NBA a fair amount.
So let's say that's about I'm with it. It's pretty awesome. That's $1 million per jump shot he'll make next year, basically, roughly, right around there.
Wow. Westbrook.
Oh, boy.
Hey, you better watch out. He's going to come after you on Twitter if you keep going.
It's like John Wall's. It's like John Wall's career. I'd take that.
Wow.
Man. But yeah, I think the NBA and NFL to me have a huge advantage in just the fascination effect of their off seasons. I mean, the NFL has made a science of dominating the news cycle. And I mean, sometimes it dominates the news cycle for reasons it does not wish to dominate the news cycle, but one way or another dominates the news cycle. But I agree, NBA free agency is always fascinating and twists and turns. And you know, the other, like baseball and hockey, to me, just they don't have the same pop.
I agree.
They have some pop.
Yeah, but not quite the same. I would agree with that. My worst thing in sports, very quickly, Wimbledon is this week. Djokovic is in there. Nadal's in there. It would be great to see Federer in there, and he's not. And that disappoints me because I don't know that we'll ever see those three guys in there together again playing at a high level. Like, it's the greatest era of tennis of all time, and it's not particularly close with those three. And I know that there have been some great players, you know, Agassi and Sampras and all these different guys. But those three guys, I think, are pretty clearly the three best players of all time. And I wish Federer was in there for this one in Wimbledon. But he's not. So that disappoints me.
That's a good call. And, you know, it's – I mean, there's no doubt. See, this is where I'm like the NBA fan is like, the Bulls would kill the Warriors. No way. You know, like, you're totally right. And I totally agree. And I mean, I've watched some incredible matches involving like two of those three guys, but I still have such a warmer feeling and was so much more into it when it was Agassi and Sampras and McEnroe and et cetera, and Lendl and Navratilova and Evert. And now, granted, I would say that women's tennis, I have with the, you know, with Serena and everything, I've probably been more into it in recent times than back, but Steffi Graf, I mean, I don't know. It's just, for me, I followed it a lot more closely back then.
Well, we do need a McEnroe overall, just yelling at everybody left and right. That would be great to have. That does not exist.
Like, one of the first times as a kid I ever heard the F word was watching a tennis match, because it was like live and he said it to a line judge and I was probably like five.
What did he say?
It was like caught on CBS. I think
they had color TV back then. Wow.
I don't know if it was color TV, but we did have sound.
The producer wasn't quick enough with the dump button.
I guess not. John on the text line says the best the Reds winning 26 games. LOL. This is from me from John on the text line. The Cincinnati Reds continue to overachieve in the eyes of Michelle Knezevic.
Listen, it's now 56. They got to get to 56.
I'd like to put a worse out for another one here too. Michelle never finishing something she starts watching.
That's not true. That's not true. Just some
there's a lot of things.
Oh, actually, I did just say I haven't finished Unraveled yet, but that's really good, and I'm going to finish it. It was just 11 o'clock at night, and we kind of have an early job. Oh, stop it! I'll finish it.
There's a little bit of that. Brian on the text line says disappointing. The officiating at last night's NSC game. What a joke. Hashtag everyone gets a yellow card. They were handing out yellow cards left and right last night. It was unbelievable.
11? Is that right?
Yeah.
What in the world, man? Yeah, that's too bad.
Gentry has just tweeted out that penalties. Yeah, but they got to get the penalty part of this figured out. I think they're 0-4. And penalties. So, got to get that part of it figured out. Gentry Estes tweeted last night, which, by the way, we'll have him on the show coming up at 8 o'clock, that he felt like he was going to get a yellow card just from watching the game. It's probably not good.
That sounds like Homer Media. Should we start a media war?
Maybe we should. That's still going on my timeline as we speak.
Oh, yeah. Let's keep it going, everybody.
This has been the best and worst things in the world of sports. We'll continue to take your submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into a little college football breakdown, Vanderbilt and Tennessee. That's coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.